Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I'm so glad that you tuned into the program because I want to share with you about prayer. And this comes from the Gospel of John chapter 15. This is Jesus speaking. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him, it is that one that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not abide in me, you will be cast forth as a branch and wither, and the branches will be gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. I love these words of Jesus. He talks about abiding. He talks about remaining in him. He talks about being attached to the vine. You are the branches, and Jesus is the vine. I live at a retreat center in Houston, Texas, and on our driveway, we have a big tree, and we have a bush and some branches sticking out, and some of the branches have thorns on them, and I have to drive right by them, and I don't want to scratch my little truck. So what I did is I went over with a pair of clippers and I clipped the branches that were sticking out, clipped them right off and they landed on the ground. And when I went to them the next day, I noticed it just took one day, all the leaves on the branches were all withered. They were all shriveled up. And I think that that's so interesting. That's exactly what Jesus said. If you're not connected, you don't get that sap, you don't get that flow, and you wither. And that's exactly what prayer is. Prayer is that abiding in Jesus. Prayer is that time where we stay connected to Jesus, where we're on the vine and we get that vital flow. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But he also said, in me, you can do everything. If you're connected to the vine, you can expect to bear fruit that will last. So I want to talk to you about abiding in Jesus. I want to talk to you about staying connected. I want to talk to you about bearing fruit. And that's exactly what prayer is. If you know anything about the catechism, the Catholic catechism, it's divided into four sections. And each section is very important. And one of the sections, one whole section is devoted to Christian prayer because prayer is vitally important. In fact, that's what it says in the catechism. Prayer is a vital necessity. In other words, it's extremely important. I call it our lifeblood. And they quoted in the catechism, the writers of the catechism quoted one of our great saints, a doctor, founder of the Redemptoris, bishop. They quoted Alphonsus Liguori. And Alphonsus said, those who pray will certainly be saved. Those who don't pray will certainly be damned. Whoa. Did you hear that? Those who pray will be saved, and those who don't pray are going to be lost. So I want to impress upon you how vitally important prayer is. It's not just something that we do when there's a problem. It's not just something that we do when we feel lonely. Eternal life is determined by prayer. It's vitally important. Jesus said, abide in me. And if you don't abide in me, you will not bear fruit. I remember studying in Rome years ago. I studied there and we had an art teacher when I studied and we all went into the Sistine Chapel. And if you've ever been in Rome, the Sistine Chapel is this beautiful chapel. Michelangelo did the ceiling and a fresco creation. And if you go into the Sistine Chapel, right as you enter, there's the sanctuary wall. And on the sanctuary wall is the Last Judgment. Very horrific, if you will, depiction of the Last Judgment where there will be those who are saved and those who are damned. You'll see Christ the Redeemer the great King coming in glory, and with him are all the angels. Down beneath are the damned and the devils. And interesting, our art teacher pointed this out. Right by Christ, there are a couple of angels, and they are holding on to what looks to be a rope. And on the rope, clinging for dear life, are two people dangling between heaven and hell. And we went a little closer, and our teacher pointed it out, and she said, take a look at that rope. And we did, and the rope had little round beads on it. And what she pointed out to us is what Michelangelo depicted. That rope was not a rope at all. That rope was a rosary. And what was keeping those men out of hell and what was holding them on to heaven was a rosary. In other words, Michelangelo was depicting that prayer determines eternity. It is prayer that keeps us out of hell and keeps us connected to heaven. That's exactly what Jesus was saying when he said, abide in me. Then you won't wither, you won't die, you will bear fruit. So prayer determines heaven and hell. And I know that from my own life, because when I was a young man at 18, I was born and brought up Catholic, baptized as an infant, and really I wasn't praying at all in my life. And for all intents and purposes, I was lost. It was only when I started to pray again. And one of the reasons why I started to pray is because I came to the scriptures, and it was Matthew 7:7 that helped change my life. And when I read, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door will be open, seek and you will find. So Jesus was talking to me about prayer. And so I started to pray, and as I did, it took a while, and it takes time, and this is the title of my talk, that you need to be persistent and consistent. Prayer is a lifestyle. It's not just a one-time thing that you do. It's not just every once in a while. But as I continued to pray, and as I kept praying, then eventually I had an experience of the Holy Spirit. Then eventually I had this really eternity-determining experience with God. So prayer determines eternity. Now, some of you that are watching this program, perhaps you haven't been praying and you just kind of flipped into the program and you're thinking, you know, what do I got to do? I just simply want you to pray. Just as you are, come before God. You don't even have to have all kinds of fancy language. And just simply say, Lord, I love you. You're my everything. I surrender to you. I want to do your will. Start there. Just start with those simple words right from your heart. Say, I want to know you. I want to experience you. I want to have a relationship with you. And that's how eternity begins, as you have a relationship with God. And if you've been in church for a long time, and if you've been praying for most of your life, just continue with that. Remember to tell God that you love him. Remember, that's the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Tell God that you love him. Don't forget that. Tell God he's your everything. Surrender to God and say, Lord, I want to do your will. Prayer it is that connects us with eternity. Prayer connects us with God. So I want to talk to you about prayer. And first of all, I've laid the foundation that prayer determines heaven and hell and where you're going to be going. Prayer is how we abide in God, how we abide in Christ. And then if you've been praying for a while, remember what I just said, it's a lifestyle, you have to understand that prayer can be kind of tricky. And what I mean by that is that it's not always easy. And so that's why it says in Romans 12:12, the letter to the Romans that Paul wrote, 12:12, be persistent in prayer. Persevere in prayer, Paul said. And what I like to say is be persistent and consistent. What that means is keep at it. It's a lifestyle. Don't give up. It will be hard at times. That's why in the catechism, it's interesting, in the section on prayer in the catechism, it talks about something when it talks about prayer called the battle of prayer. I remember watching a couple boxers one time, And, you know, boxing is a battle. It's a war. I mean, you're trying to just survive and trying to win, of course. And one of the boxers had on his shorts the word everlast. And that's kind of the way it is in prayer. You know, it's a battle. It's a fight. It's a war. You have to battle against distractions. You have to battle against dryness. You have to battle against boredom. You have to battle against temptations. And so what you have to do is everlast. You have to be persistent, consistent. You have to persevere when it comes to prayer. I remember one time I was talking to somebody. They said, "Father, I go to Mass and, you know, I try my best, but I get distracted. I lose my focus." And that happens a lot. I remember one time I was talking to somebody and they were talking about prayer and they said, "Father, I pray the rosary, and as I'm praying the rosary at night, I get really sleepy and sometimes I fall asleep. Is that a sin?" And I said, "No, it's not a sin. I call that holy drowsiness." In other words, God sees your heart. He knows your motivations. He sees what you're trying to do. He knows your intentions. And even if you fall asleep at prayer, it'll probably put you into a real deep sleep. So the bottom line is, though, prayer is a battle. It can be hard at times, but be persistent. Be consistent every day. It is a lifestyle. Persevere in prayer. And even though it's a battle, and we all have it, we're tempted to watch TV instead of pray. It can be dry and hard at times. It can be difficult. You can get distracted. Yes, it's a battle, but everlast. Persevere. Persistent. Consistent. And as you do that, there will be times of refreshing. There will be times of blessing. There will be times when God will touch you. When it comes to prayer, I remember Jesus talked about prayer, and this is Luke 11. The Gospel of Luke, you have to understand, Luke and Acts, Luke wrote both the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel of Luke. And Luke included in his Gospel some things that are not included in all the other Gospels. And his works, Luke and Acts, have to do with prayer. For example, chapter 11 is a big chapter about prayer. And the disciples are watching Jesus pray, and they come up to him and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." And don't we all want that? We all want to be taught by Jesus how to pray. And then, of course, as soon as they asked that, Jesus gave us the great Our Father. We all know that so well. And right after that, he told a parable. This is Luke chapter 11. In the parable, he told the parable about being persistent in prayer because he realized that his disciples were going to have trouble, and he realized that we were going to have trouble with prayer. Prayer isn't always easy. You don't always feel the comfort. You're not always up on a glory cloud somewhere. So therefore, Jesus tried to encourage us by telling us a parable in chapter 11. And he talked about a man who had a friend who came to him, and it was a surprise visit, needed some food. So he went to his friend and said, "Do you have any food? Because my friend just came to town. I don't have any food to share with him." And his friend wasn't going to give him anything because it was the midnight hour. But because of his persistence, because of his annoying coming to him all the time, being persistent, he gave his friend what he wanted. And Jesus told that parable, and he was saying, basically, wear God out. Come to him persistently. He is more than a friend to you. And even if he won't give you anything because you're his friend, he'll give you something because you come persistently. So in other words, he was basically saying, when you pray, don't give up. Stay strong. Endure. Persevere. Then he tells us another parable in Luke 18, and it was to encourage us not to lose heart. That's how Luke 18 begins, to stay strong in prayer. And then he talks about, this time, not a friend, he talks about an unjust judge who neither feared God or regarded people. And then a widow comes to him. Now get the contrast. You've got the judge high up in society. You've got the widow, probably the lowest in society, a woman in that society at the time. And she comes wanting to be vindicated. And the judge says, "You know, I neither fear God and I could care less for people, but this widow is wearing me out." And I'm going to give her what she wants because she's bothering me. I think Jesus had a great sense of humor. What he was saying was, bother God with your prayers. Wear them out. And eventually God is going to say, I'm going to get this person off my back and give them the answer to my prayer. So in other words, Jesus was saying that, yes, God does answer our prayers. Be persistent. If it's according to his will, he will answer you. So take heart, those of you who are mothers especially, because I know that many of your children have fallen away from the faith. And you're thinking, you know, how can I get him back? I've prayed for him. It doesn't seem to be working. Well, don't give up. You've all heard the story about Saint Monica. And, you know, her son Augustine was a rabble-rouser. He lived a playboy lifestyle and dabbled in Eastern religions and had a child out of wedlock. And, you know, he was living a paganistic lifestyle. But she didn't give up. She knew that God is a big God. All things are possible, Jesus would continue to talk about when it came to prayer. So she knew who God was. And even though her son was living a hedonistic lifestyle, had fallen away, didn't know God, she kept praying. She stayed persistent. She endured. She had that everlasting mentality. Persistence and consistency, really important. Persevering in prayer. And eventually, as you know, God touched Augustine. Augustine became this bishop, doctor of the church, great saint, I believe all because of his mother's prayer. Remember when Paul the Apostle, they were all stoning Stephen. Stephen was praying for Paul the Apostle as he was being stoned. He said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they were doing. And God did forgive Saul. He became Paul the great apostle, another miracle that happens through prayer. The Bible is full of accounts of people whose lives have been changed because other people were praying for them. So in other words, prayer is powerful. Don't give up. Stay persistent. And as I told you, the Gospel of Luke is full of prayer, and the Acts of the Apostles, full of prayer. Very unique set of writings by the Gospel writer Luke. Jesus is baptized in the Gospel of Luke. This is chapter 3. Great emphasis on prayer. Right after he's baptized, he comes out of the water, and Luke adds, none of the other Gospel writers add this, Luke adds that he prays right after his baptism. And as he's praying, that's when the Holy Spirit anoints him, comes upon him like a dove, and he's anointed for ministry. He has this religious experience at the Jordan River because he's praying. So what does that tell me? It tells me that as I pray, may not happen all the time, but you can receive the Holy Spirit in a new, fresh way. That's exactly what happened in the Acts of the Apostles. Pentecost, they were all gathered for prayer. They received the Holy Spirit. Then they're going through some difficulties and tribulations and hardships through trying to proclaim Christ. They all gather in prayer once again. And as they're praying, the room is shaken where they are. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with boldness. So in other words, the Gospel writer Luke is telling us in his Gospel, in the Acts of the Apostles, that as you pray, you can expect religious experiences. May not be tremendously dramatic, but you can believe for a new anointing, new energy, refreshment. God is so good. I love what it says in the Gospel of John. God does not ration the Holy Spirit. In other words, he lavishes his Spirit upon us. So you should be expecting that in prayer. And then really quickly, remember the Transfiguration. Other Gospel writers, Mark and Matthew, they don't tell us that Jesus was praying. But Luke adds, when they go to the mountaintop, the three disciples and Jesus, they went there to pray. And during their prayer session, something dramatic happened. Jesus changed. His face, his appearance, dazzling, transfigured, glory shone forth. You know what that tells me? That as you're praying, you can change. Those of you who are stuck in an addiction, those of you who have problems with a bad habit, those of you who have a person in your life that you need to forgive, those of you who are going through a struggling marriage, you know, we can go on and on and on here. As you pray, you can expect change. See, prayer changes things. endure, persevere, be consistent, don't give up. Then in Luke 6, Jesus went to the mountain to pray. And he went there, and he says that he spent all night in prayer to God, and then he chose his apostles. If you've got some kind of a decision coming up, some kind of a dramatic choice that you have to make in your life, don't just make it off the top of your head. Pray about it. It says that he spent all night in prayer because this was an important decision. I spent a whole year in prayer before I became a religious. This is called novitiate. I became a Passionist way back in 1985, but it wasn't just on a whim or just some kind of a quick decision. I spent a whole year in a monastery praying about it. And that year of prayer helped solidify the decision that I made to profess my vows as a Passionist. In the same way, you can make good, solid decisions through prayer. Really quickly, some other things. On the cross, if you remember, the wonderful Jesus giving himself on the cross for you and me. On the cross, remember, as he's suffering, Jesus was praying, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting Psalm 22, a psalm of redemption, a psalm that brought good. And then he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. In other words, he's praying for his enemies on the cross. In your sufferings, make sure that you pray for meaning, for understanding, that God will bring good out of it. Maybe you're suffering with somebody, as I said, that has hurt you or abused you. Pray for them and watch what happens. See, Jesus believed in the power of prayer, and just because it was this tragic event of the cross, he didn't stop praying. I remember I watched the movie Jesus of Nazareth as a young man, and one of the Pharisees looked up at the cross in the movie and said, even on the cross he prays. And that so struck me. So pray as you're suffering, and it will give you meaning and understanding. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, really quickly, I'm talking about the life of Jesus and how he prayed and received answers to his prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, remember what he told his disciples? He said, pray that you not enter into temptation. Now, I tell people all the time, it's not a sin to be tempted. We're all tempted. But it becomes a sin when you enter into the temptation. So be careful about that. So in other words, Jesus was saying, pray when you're tempted. Don't just be tempted and all of a sudden succumb because you have no energy, no ability to say no. Right at that moment, pray that you don't enter into it and God will strengthen you. So I'm trying to depict that prayer changes things. Jesus' life, Jesus' teaching, Jesus was always talking about prayer, and he was saying, abide in me so that you can be strong, so that you can have that energy, so that you can have that power. Endure, persevere, be consistent, be persistent, and watch what happens. And when you pray, believe. Believe that God hears your prayer. I love it in the Gospel of John. You may remember this. Right before he prayed about Lazarus to raise him from the dead, Jesus prayed a beautiful prayer. You know what he said? He said, right before raising Lazarus, he said, Father, I thank you for hearing me, but I know that you always hear me. Oh, I love that. Many people, when they pray, think, well, God's not answering me. I'm not even sure if he hears me. That's not the way Jesus prayed at all. He said, Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. And then, whoom, God answered that prayer, raised Lazarus from the dead. I love what it says in the letter to the Hebrews. This is chapter 4, verse 16. Come boldly before the throne of grace so that God will help you. You may receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. And that word boldly means come confidently before the throne of grace. That's exactly what it is. So when you're praying, don't think that God doesn't hear you. It's the throne of grace. Come with confidence. God works through faith, and you can expect answers to your prayers. Maybe you won't get it exactly the way that you want it answered, but there is mercy and help for our time of need. And there are so many needs. I have a prayer request site on my website so many needs. People are always asking for money, employment, that their children come back to the faith, for their health problems. So many needs in the world. Think about the refugee crisis that's going on right now, people that are considering abortion, homelessness, vocations, we need that. People in prison that need help, gun violence, pollution of the earth, sex trafficking. Whenever I'm home, we all kind of gather and we watch the nightly news. And one of the things that I like to do while I watch the news is to pray the news. Pray for the difficulties that's going on. We can help change things by praying. So I remember one time in my life, I was getting discouraged about prayer. And I thought to myself, you know, God is almighty and he's got all the power and he can do everything. Why do I even need to pray? I mean, God can do it apart from me. And then something happened to me. This image came to my mind that I remembered, and this really, really helped me. And I hope it'll help you too, because I want you to be praying for all the needs of the world, for all the people in your life. And the image that came to my mind was this. My dad was a carpenter. He was a master craftsman. He was really good. I used to work with him as a young man. And let me put it to you this way. We would go up on the roof and we'd be putting shingles on a roof. And my dad was so good, you know, and I was so inept. He would have four nails in before I'd even get one in there. I'd be trying to get that nail in and I'd hear boom, 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 boom. Dad would have it in. And I'm thinking to myself, why does my dad even take me with him, you know, to build this building? Because he's so good, he doesn't need me. And then I figured it out. You know, my dad and I had such a great relationship. My dad wanted me to be there. He wanted me to participate with him in the creation of this building that he was working on because I was his son. And in the same way, our Heavenly Father, yes, he can do everything by himself. He's got all the power, he's got all the ability. He actually honors us and gives us the dignity of being co-creators with him in creation. He wants us to participate with him in the creation of the world. And when there are needs, for example, he hears our intercessions. He wants us to be a part of the whole thing because he's our father and we're his children. So in other words, we have an honor and a dignity to pray, to be a priestly people, to pray for the needs of the world and for others. So I invite you, be persistent, be consistent, persevere, endure, don't give up. Abide in the vine and you will bear fruit, fruit that will last. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Cedric Pizzegna. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.